Coming up on KSDP News, the Testamina schedule has been slashed again, and the governor pushes for compromise as government shutdown looms ahead. Stay tuned. Good afternoon. You're listening to KSDP 830 AM Sandpoint. I'm Marissa Williams with some local news on Tuesday, May 6, 2017. The Testamina Ferry has been delayed again, this time until August. Yesterday, the Alaska Marine Highway System announced that more of the vessel's steel structure needs to be replaced before it can leave the Ketchikan shipyard. Originally, the vessel's return to service was set for May 27th, but officials cut its sailings in half after finding a first batch of damaged steel in early May. Now, after that latest discovery, spokesperson Meadow Bailey says communities from Homer to Unalaska won't have ferry service until August 15th.
There's nothing that we can do at this point. Usually there are 10 trips down the chain, and this year, as long as everything stays on schedule, we'll only be able to provide 3. So we recognize that this really impacts communities.
Bailey says there was no way to fill gaps in service without hurting other routes in the ferry system. The Testamina is 53 years old, and until the vessel can be replaced, Bailey says repairs will be common.
We're seeing more and more of these instances of wasted steel, and unfortunately, it takes time to make those repairs, and it's not something that they see immediately when they walk through, so it's something that becomes discovered as you're going through making repairs.
A new vessel has been designed to replace the Testamina. The federal government would fund most of the $240 million project. The state would pay for 10%, but the legislature still needs to approve the funding. Governor Bill Walker met with legislative leaders yesterday to roll out a compromise package, as an entire regular session and more than a half a special session have gone by with no deal on a state budget. Under the governor's proposal, people who work in Alaska would pay a set amount each year based on their income. The proposal received a cool response from the House Majority Coalition. House Speaker Bryce Edgemond, a Democrat from Dillingham, says it doesn't go far enough this year to solve the budget crisis.
What we saw today being offered really is a scenario that finds the legislature in an election year back in Juneau fighting intractable budget battles and having to make really tough choices. So what our coalition has been saying all along is we need to make those tough choices this year.
The governor's tax concept, known as a head tax, is based on a proposal by Republican Senator Click Bishop of Fairbanks. But Walker wants to raise twice as much as Bishop proposed, meaning the tax would range from $100 for people who earn less than $20,000 to $1,000 for those paid more than $500,000. Governor Walker also called on lawmakers to pass the Senate versions of an overhaul to the state's oil tax credit system and a bill to draw money from the permanent fund to pay for the state government. It would set PFD checks at $1,000. In all, the governor's compromise package would reduce the Alaska's budget gap by nearly 90%. The state government will shut down on July 1st if lawmakers can't reach a compromise. A scientist predicts climate change could have far-reaching effects on berry production around Kodiak Island. Biologist Bill Pyle just wrapped up a 2-year pilot study in the Kodiak National Wildlife Refuge using time-lapse cameras to study berry growth. He says warmer winters are affecting the deer population and their consumption of certain berries. KMXT's Kayla Desroches has the story.
Salmon berries may be limited or non-existent this year. Pyle says winter conditions play a part. This year was unusually dry, and there was little snowpack to insulate the plants. He says the temperature from November through March for the last 2 years was 6 degrees above normal. This year, Kodiak was 1.5 degrees below normal.
We really don't know when the problem started and whether it was a long-term situation this winter, but the bottom line is that it appears that salmonberry and blueberry were affected by the amount of cold and the depth of cold that we had that killed the winter buds. and killed the above-ground stems of those plants.
Elderberries fared better. Pyle says cold temperatures didn't hack away at them. It was the Sitka black-tailed deer.
You have the deer stripping the bark, which that girdling action kills the above-ground growth. Fortunately for the species that we're looking at, they all are very vigorous resprouters, and so it's not like the plants were outright killed.
Pyle says if the deer continue to munch on elderberries year after year, they could kill off the entire plant species. He says normally every 3 to 8 years, a harsh Kodiak winter would sweep through the deer population and keep it at bay. Without that, they're free to continue eating the elderberries and other species that bears also survive on, like blueberries. He says because this winter was so dry and lacked significant snowpack, deer had easier access to the areas where those berries grow. In the short term, it looks like the lack of berries over the summer may not bode well for brown bears. Pyle says a mixture of food sources like berries and meat help maintain the bear's nutritional balance. Throwing off that balance means that more bears may look to human activity for a food source.
If they encounter a person with, say, they've got a deer down and, you know, there's going to be more circumstances where the bears pursue that shot animal. And once the bear has accessed human food, say it's in a town situation, then usually that's what they'll continue to seek and usually end up in trouble because of that.
Bears that develop a reliance on scavenging human trash have a tendency to return to town again and again. I'm Kayla DeRoche.
And that's the news from Sandpoint. I'm Marissa Williams, and you're listening to KSDP 830 AM.